We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Automatic play on the car today. Listen to the music by the Doobie Brothers. I am in on it today. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and also on your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. It is funny, that thing. Death and doom. I think we're going to see baseball July 4th.
I think we're going to see baseball. And I think one of the key things here in Connecticut for me is, I believe, June 1st, which is Monday.
Yeah.
Barbershops open up.
Oh, dude. And
finally go get the cut.
I feel like my hair is like a president from like 1840, where it's just so far out on the sides.
It's one of those little.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. Sorry. You can get your beard groomed.
Your face jungle.
Listen, we all look for, obviously, in these uncertain times, we look for silver linings that we can find. I'm never going to have to pay for grooming again. Yeah. Now that I have gone to the shaved head model, I am self-sufficient.
That's true.
I will be spending exactly $0 on haircuts or care. I can do all of this on my own. I have the power.
You know, if you think about it economically, we probably do this once a month, right? We
get
a haircut for whatever the
dollar
amount is.
And you do it at a salon.
Yeah, well, I, you know.
A salon.
This takes some work. I'm not going to lie to you.
And I got to believe the first time out, probably going to have to be a bigger tip because it's going to be a bigger job.
Yeah.
I know for my guy, John, you know, I mean, it's... He's going to have to get the weed whacker out for this.
I mean, I'll wake up in the morning and I have like Bozo the Clown hair on the left and right side. It's just crazy. Not as much on top as there used to be, which is a separate discussion.
I was going to say.
I feel you, brother.
The power alleys in left and right center field are getting deeper every day. Speaking of power alleys, well, we see balls hit to the power alleys anytime soon in Major League Baseball. You know, it's not surprising after what we saw from the owners that the union and the players would respond in kind, but I just want them to just do it on a Zoom conference between the two of them. Just talk amongst yourselves and figure it out, right? And maybe that's unrealistic.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Listen, we'll take the content. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Much in the same way that Woj seems to find out everything. Jeff Passan and our fine Major League Baseball insider seem to find everything. But, you know, the baseball owners gave that proposal for, like, secondary, tertiary pay cuts for everybody. So someone who was supposed to make 30 plus million will actually make seven, which is still $7 million, but you signed up for five times that amount, basically.
It's just interesting the way it, because you're right. It would be nice if it were as easy as a conversation, because we talked to Brian Windhorst the other day, and in the NBA, he said it sounds like it's largely Chris Paul and Adam Silver. Chris Paul obviously leading the Players Association side, and Adam Silver having a conversation like that and trying to make it that simple. Whereas for the Major League Baseball, we heard a statement from Max Scherzer yesterday basically saying the players were going to move on and come back with their own proposal on this. You had Trevor Bauer chirping Scott Boras saying, stay out of meddling in MLBPA issues.
And by the way, he did the Twitter thing. If it's true, and it's just a rumor, but I'm going to go at it with all this thing, even though it may not be true and it's just a rumor.
And by the way, Trevor, a little late to the party about Scott Boras. He's been kind of involved for a while now in baseball. Listen, as we look at this, we all think there's going to be baseball. I think because we deal with sport fans, we hear in social media, we get returned that they'll have a side in this or they'll have an opinion about the union and the league and the pay. But I think for the most part, a casual baseball fan just says, you know what, get to me when the games start.
Right.
And then when the games start, at least from the baseball side where we've seen the ratings decline, will the ratings be up right out of the gate because we don't have really any other sports to watch?
Well, the ratings for everything that is actually a live competition has been way up. You mentioned Max Scherzer's sound. Max Scherzer making a statement about it saying, hey, this is what we want in a proposal.
I was going to say, and just a brief thing here, he said, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no need to engage the MLB any further with compensation reductions. We've previously negotiated a pay cut and a version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based on the current information the union has received. Max Scherzer is one of eight players on the MLBPA's executive subcommittee. So.
And here was Jeff Passan basically explaining on SportsCenter why Scherzer's words matter.
Max Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Cy Young Award winner multiple times. This is a guy who has gravitas and is not just a great player, but is an incredibly intelligent person too. And to have him coming out as strident as he was, as forceful as he was with this message, I think says a lot about the position of the players right now. They're mad. They're mad at the offer that Major League Baseball made, and they're not going to sit here and say, oh, we'll be conciliatory, we'll come and meet you in the middle. No, they want to go back to the player or to Major League Baseball and say, we're not going to accept this.
So why baseball is harder, we know why NHL is all done, NBA, they're working on the whole campus situation, and it doesn't seem like the money part's going to be a big issue there. It's all because baseball's starting a season, right? We have to decide how many games are we playing because, I mean, it's a white canvas, right? You get 162 games, you know you're not playing that. So the league comes out with 82. The players are going to give a proposal that says over 100. So you have the entire way to go in baseball, the entire thing to figure out. Where really in hockey and basketball, you're saying, okay, let's just kind of figure out the playoffs and where we can come right into it and get highlights right away and get meaningful games all the way. Baseball has to do an entire season.
And I think you said it correctly there before, too. For the NBA, trying to figure out, all right, how do we make sure that these games are going towards something, that people have a shot at something? For Major League Baseball, whether it's a chance at ultimately winning a championship or the value that all those games have. Everyone else in the NBA and all these leagues have had a lot of their salaries paid out already. Major League Baseball, they all quite literally have meaning, and it is a dollars and cents meaning.
So I think there's two things here, too. You mentioned precedent, Junior, and I mentioned trust earlier. I think those are two parts of this that are very concerning. One, because the players are concerned that if they have some sort of salary cap structure in place for this year, because there's a new CBA coming right after this season that they need to negotiate, will that be owners saying, well, you agreed to it here, so we'd like to do it here? And my point is they think that way because of the mistrust between these two sides. You mentioned Chris Paul and Adam Silver basically talking to each other. That doesn't happen in Major League Baseball, and leads us to the situation where they dig in and fight for everything. But on a bigger picture, let's say they dig in like they did in 94 and they can't get something done and they cancel the season in August and the World Series and they finally got back late to start the following season in 1995. And it took Cal Ripken's record-setting games played streak, and quite frankly, the steroid home run summer of 1998 between McGuire and Sosa to really bring baseball back. They've always managed to come back. And while the revenues still are strong, ratings and attendance is down in Major League Baseball. And it's been going down this way for a while. If they dig in and do the stupid thing, which is not play over money, which would be stupid, let's just be clear about that, in this day and age that we are, can baseball survive this?
You just said it. They've been surviving.
Yeah. Time, over time. It depends. Maybe it's more time. Does it take something else like a home run or some incredible thing going on in the game, which I don't think we'll see as far as a home run. But I think over time things come back. As you said, this was already declining anyway from attendance to TV ratings. So, But I think over time people kind of, they're mad. They're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. How many tweets do we get about something in sports where I'm done with them?
Yeah.
I'm never watching them again. And they don't for a while. And then eventually they come back. So I think eventually everything comes back.
Sports, right? We said this talking about Lance Armstrong the other day. One of the reasons there will never be redemption for him is because he doesn't have a chance to go out and win. Yeah. In sports, we are willing to forgive people that come out and win. And as a league, if you were to come out after something like this, and find a way to give a compelling product and put something out there that people can rally around again, we're incredibly forgiving in the world of sports, provided you win.
Well, there's the forgiving part of the win, and there's the business side of it, right? Look, the one thing baseball always has going for it, especially in the regular season, is they provide content. When not a lot else is going on, baseball gives us content. There are many, many games to be played. But then when you go to the negotiation side of this, when they talk about money from television networks and all that kind of stuff, they're also going to point to, hey, your postseason ratings are down. That's going to dictate how much revenue comes in. And that's something they've got to factor into this equation. There's no question about it.
Team valuations keep going up, though.
Trees don't go to the sky. You know what I mean? Eventually, there's got to be a limit. And I'm just curious.
Well, they're looking for it, and they haven't found it yet.
Exactly. That doesn't mean they won't.
Yeah, go look at the last deals that have been signed.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they won't, but we'll see going forward. Coming up next, Joe Burrow may not be the only Tiger King in the state of Ohio.
Oh, boy.
And we'll get to that next. I am so intrigued. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending. The National Women's Soccer League announced on Wednesday that it plans to start the 2020 season and become the first U.S. sports league to return to play. The NWSL season, which never officially began due to the COVID-19 shutdown, will take the form of a 25-game tournament for the Challenge Cup, the NWSL's yearly championship. All 9 league teams will play 4 games to determine seeding. Then, the top 8 teams will advance to the quarterfinal knockout round. The tournament's slated to begin on June 27th and last for 30 days. Prelim games and quarterfinals will be played at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, Utah, and the semifinals will be played at Rio Tinto Stadium in Sandy, Utah. No fans will be allowed at any of the games. The NWSL also released some plans for coronavirus testing. Players and staff who report to the traveling party to Utah will be tested weekly during the preseason. Another test will be required 48 to 72 hours before the date of travel to Utah, and that'll include players, staff, children, and, quote, caregivers. Meanwhile, count the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as the latest institution to have the best-laid plans felled by COVID-19. Jerry Colangelo, the chairman of the Board of Governors for the Hall, told ESPN on Wednesday that the enshrinement ceremonies for the class of 2020, one of the most star-studded lineups ever, including Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and the late Kobe Bryant, will be moved now to the spring of 2021. And the Cleveland Browns are the highest bidder for Jadeveon Clowney, but he's hesitant to take the deal. Adam Schefter said on ESPN Cleveland that, quote, they've been the most aggressive team with him financially, and I just think he balked at going to Cleveland for whatever reason. Other teams reported to be interested in Clowney have been the Seahawks and Tennessee Titans. Both teams still have upwards of $15 million in 2020 salary cap space via over the cap, but they still likely need to move some money around in order to land Clowney. Meanwhile, the Browns still have over $37 million in cap space, the most in the NFL, and seem to still be looking for ways to make an off-season splash. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. The greatest mystery of all time is now streaming on Redbox. Don't miss the theatrical home release of Scoob. Discover Scooby-Doo's epic destiny and stream this premium rental with Redbox On Demand today.
That was a good job by you.
Thanks, man.
There's a lot of information we plowed through there. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, also on your smart speakers. So let's talk to someone who we've missed. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while, and we can't quite do the napkins of integrity thing He's there and we're here, but we want to bring the thought process of the napkins of integrity with our next guest. And it's our fine ESPN NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, how are you? Everybody good with you? Everybody happy and healthy?
Yeah, and it's good to be missed because I'm quarantined with 2 teenagers, and there's a lot of things they would describe about me, but missing me certainly wouldn't be one of them.
I was about to say, that's a dynamic that we're all dealing with. I wouldn't exactly say I've been missing it, Dan, but it's all part of the process here. And speaking of the process, Mike, you know, we're doing these rankings every Wednesday of all eight divisions, and we just did the NFC South, and I rated the Panthers fourth in that division for a couple of obvious reasons, but one is Matt Rhule is a new head coach with a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator in Joe Brady and essentially a new offense, and their offseason is going to be very, very limited, and that's because of what we're dealing with. His facilities are just beginning to open up. As a guy who's been through this so many years in the offseason, building a structure in place, how difficult do you think it's going to be for the first-year head coaches in the offseason that the NFL is currently experiencing?
Absolutely, Trey. When you think about Matt Rhule and you think about guys like Kevin Stefanski and Joe Judge in particular, it's, look, hard on everybody. But those three rookie head coaches, they still haven't been able to get in front of their team, assess who they have, get to install offenses, and it's going to be a work in progress. And I think it'd be unfair for us to expect anything else but some bumps in the road. You know, and we could also talk about this great showdown on opening day, even with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. You know, those guys have been speaking different languages for years and years and years, and things like mic points and cadence and hard counts and hots, all those nuances, you know, they're playing Drew Brees and Sean Payton on opening day. Like, there's a discernible difference because of this weird off season, and I think experience and incumbents will certainly benefit from it.
Mike, how long would you think, in your estimation, we've seen this happen really since the last CBA went into effect, of a bit of a growing process for a lot of teams even going into the regular season. How long would you say for a team like Tampa Bay, for example, you think that would last into the regular season before it kind of normalizes?
Yeah, you know, Mike, you're a former player. It's going to take a while. You know, there's nothing like repetition. And look, I know how intrinsically motivated Tom Brady is and all the things he's doing with his teammates now, but there's nothing like live reps, having your coaches there, making the corrections. So I think it's going to take, you know, I don't know, at least 25% of the season. So, again, do I believe in Tom Brady and Bruce Arians? Absolutely. But to say on opening day they're going to be able to compete and do all the things that, again, Drew Brees and Sean Payton can do, I just think that's unfair. And when we're talking, you know, we're sitting here in October, November, talking about Matt Rhule or Kevin Stefanski or Joe Judge, I just think it has to be the proper lens. Even Mike McCarthy, to a certain extent, guys, I know we're going to talk about Dak here in a second, as experienced as he is, you know, there's going to be an anxiousness that he hasn't been able to address his team yet.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Golic and Wingo. And according to our Adam Schefter, the Cleveland Browns have offered Jadeveon Clowney the highest bid at this point. They have $37 million under the cap, so they can make him a good offer. Put yourself in the management office of the Cleveland Browns. Clowney turns that down. What does that say to you? Do you continue to pursue that, or do you say he doesn't want to be here?
Yeah, look, I'm always about trying to find ways to solve problems and solutions. I mean, there's a lot of times in my career where, you know, I just kept hearing no, and I would just try to be a great listener, Mike, and say, hey, you know, what is it going to take? Let's talk about the economics, but more importantly, let's talk about the non-economics. You know, how can we put Jadeveon in a situation where he could be productive on the field, playing 16 games, which he's only done once in his career, and set him up where he could do markedly much better in the spring of 2021. So let's enter this as a partnership, work really hard to put you in a position where you could help the team, but also help yourself long-term.
Yeah, and Jadeveon Clowney is obviously going to be, until people can look at that body and find out what's going on, how that situation is going to unfold. You mentioned Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We're still talking about the Dak Prescott thing. Why? Why, Mike? Why are we still here?
I think it goes back to August, where Zeke Elliott, with arguably 3 years to go when you think about his option and franchise, leaves the team. He goes to Cabo, and Jerry Jones rewards that behavior and pays him at the high end of the market. To me, it was always about Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott. Guys, I know how hard it is to try to find a quarterback. For over 20 years, I pursued people that were high character, productive. This guy's won 40 games. He's 26 years old. You pay him first. You draw a line. It's everybody else after Dak Prescott. Look, Zeke Elliott's a great player, but Lyle Collins, they paid him. He's a good offensive lineman, certainly replaceable. Jalen Smith, he's a good linebacker. But it's a lot easier to find those players than it is Dak Prescott. And every single day that they don't get a deal done, And if we get past July 15th, when he can't sign a long-term extension as a franchise player, he becomes closer and closer to Kirk Cousins. And, guys, what do you think that number is as a 28-year-old unfettered free agent? What, imagine what he would get.
I want to find out.
Yes, I do.
I desperately
want to find out. We all want Dak to go down that road. And Kirk Cousins told him when he met him, this: the tag can be your friend, and it certainly has been worked out that well for Kirk Cousins exponentially.
Absolutely. And so we wait, as usual, to see a resolution with that situation. Another one that's pretty surprising, Mike, has been the saga around Cam Newton. Like, yeah. I understand they're different situations when we talk about injury, but Joe Bleeping Flacco just got signed
Who
somewhere.
Said, by the way, he won't be ready to... Day one.
Are we running out of excuses for why a team hasn't signed Cam yet?
Well, I think just quickly on Flacco, guys, again, we're a relationship-driven business, and that's exacerbated by this unusual offseason. And the general manager of the Jets is Joe Douglas, who had a big say in drafting Joe Flacco in Baltimore. So, again, it's just another quarterback connection with a pre-existing relationship. As it relates to Cam, I think, and I've said this for a while, guys, to me, Pittsburgh makes so much sense because Ben Roethlisberger is 38. His best days are clearly behind him, coming off of massive surgery with his elbow. And if you could get the former first pick in the draft, who's taking a team to the Super Bowl, try to get him healthy for a year. You may have Zara Parent right on campus without having to spend a draft choice. So I think Cam is all about risk-reward. I've always been a huge fan of his. Every defensive coordinator I've worked with when we've played them, those are the players that just keep you up at night because he can attack you with his arm, his legs. And obviously for him, it's going to be his health. And I think him and Clowney still being out there, I think that's the common thread is, you know, their respective teams' abilities to evaluate where they are physically.
Mike, which quarterback out there, second year, third year, pick whichever you want, could be in danger of finding themselves in a Mitch Trubisky-type situation?
Oh, Mike, without question, it's Baker Mayfield. Remarkably, this guy was drafted in 2018. He's only on his fourth head coach. When you think about Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchens, and now Kevin Stefanski. And look what happened in Arizona, where Cliff Kingsbury came in and said, hey, Josh Rosen, I'm glad you were a top 10 pick, but you're not going to be here. And I think the lens of the benefit of the doubt when you talk about guys like Mayfield, Daniel Jones with the New York Giants, Dwayne Haskins with the Washington Redskins, they are now inherited by new head coaches, and I think their benefits of the doubt, their leashes are a lot shorter. And Mayfield, in my opinion, took a massive step back a year ago, and there's a lot of pressure on him this year to perform.
So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one, Mike. And Baker has said basically he's going to approach this year differently. He's not going to be as outspoken. He said he had this one interview where he said, this is the first time I've done anything. It sounds like he realizes this as well, right? Like he's understanding all my allies in the building aren't here anymore.
Yeah, and I think also there's, you know, a peer-to-peer acceptance. And look, we have so many talented former players at ESPN that we get to work with. And, you know, watching all the games with them last year was just interesting. Like, to a man, almost all of them just talked about how he put himself out there on a national platform, you know, just the commercials and the sponsorships. And no one begrudged people taking advantage of their platforms, but it was almost like too much too soon. They really hadn't accomplished anything. And, you think about guys like the Breeze and the Brady's, like there's an elegance and an accomplishment that comes first, and then you monetize that. And it just seems like he was thrust onto this national stage maybe before he deserved it. And to his credit, hopefully he course corrects. And I think they've had a phenomenal offseason. They have two new tackles in Jedrick Willis and Jack Conklin. They addressed the tight end situation with Austin Hooper. So they've checked a lot of boxes. He just has to go out and play better.
Yeah, he does. Well, the whole team does as well. But you're right, it's triggered by the offense.
Yeah.
Mike, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Be well, be safe, okay?
All right, guys. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is interesting, the more and more we talk about Baker, it kind of makes me go back and look. And when we look at all those quarterbacks, like, are we just saying now that basically every rookie quarterback going into their third year is on notice because
all but one.
It's easy. Well, like I said, obviously that him excluded in all this, but I guess outside of achieving those things, Are they all replaceable because of the way the CBA is set up now?
Oh, I think without a doubt, to not have to go to that fifth year and pay that big amount, you can get out of it unbelievably cheap and move on if you don't think it's going to be. You draft him to be the quarterback of the future, and you're going to damn well know in 3 to 4 years if they are or not. And if they play along that time, I think that's enough time to see where you are, your third or your fourth year. Look at, you know, Jameis got that time. He got all the time.
He got
time.
All five.
You know, he got all five, and I wouldn't even say all five. Get to the of when you have to, if you decline that option, make them earn that last paycheck or that last year. If they don't get it, I think that's plenty of time to decide if that's still the quarterback of the future.
And I want to be clear about something we talk about Baker, and Mike brought it up. Maybe it was too much too soon with the commercials. I'm never going to be upset with anybody. Here is free money. Take it. You know what I mean? I have no problem with that. But I will bring up one thing, which I think sort of isn't, maybe people forgot. Patrick Mahomes was the, 10th overall pick in that draft in 2017? And he was offered a bunch of endorsement deals. And he decided, I'm going to turn them down until I've accomplished something. Well, open the floodgates now.
Yeah, and I honestly don't tie those together.
I just thought it was interesting.
The one I quickly look at is Johnny Manziel, who openly admitted he wasn't preparing the way he should as a backup quarterback. Had nothing to do with marketing, had everything to do with his lack of preparation.
And again, I'm all for getting whatever money you can get whenever you get it.
We'll get back to this in a little bit. I think we're missing something here.
Uh-oh.
Go on.
The youngster telling us we're missing something.
I want to know.
I'm saying we're all missing something, myself included, the longer we look at this.
I like that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But coming up next, a former Champions Road to the back to the top, starts this Saturday. Undercards start at, 9 o'clock?
Prelims start at 6 o'clock on ESPN and ESPN+. Plus.
Thank you very much. For more on that, we're delighted to be joined by Tyron Woodley, UFC fighter. Tyron, we appreciate you being with us this morning. It's been a long time since you've been in the octagon, 14 months to be exact. What are you working through in your chance to get back in the ring and ready to roll?
You know, first off, I had a fight scheduled against Robbie Lawler. It was a rematch fight that I was supposed to have in June. And I had my first injury in training have that forbade me from being in a fight. Normally, you know, I've walked in a lot of fights with, you know, injuries. But against a guy like Robbie Lawler, especially someone that you knock out very quickly for the belt, you want to make sure you're 100%. So I didn't feel comfortable going into that fight. And then it was just a scheduling thing, trying to find a fight that made sense at the right time and just allowing the division to kind of shuffle. And I was scheduled to fight in March. And we all know what happened. COVID-19 took over the world, pretty much. And here we are now.
So we've seen a few of the fights and the testing procedures that have gone along with it. Where are you with that? How comfortable are you with that? And what have you been told?
I mean, the UFC has done a great job so far. From the testing and just the protocol and the safety. Like, when I walked right in, everybody had on masks. Immediately, we had our temperature check, got a corona swab. And then just basically told that this week is going to be a little different than normal fight weeks. We're going to just have to chill in our room. And it's going to be security in the hallways watching us and making sure people don't come in without a badge or without, you know, room keys. And if we need to leave the premises for any reason, we have to get it cleared by them. And then we'll be temperature checked again. And I believe we'll be re-swabbed again.
And so with all these things leading up to it and all these changes going into it, I'm curious, in that same vein, what's the training been like leading up to this, knowing all the limitations that exist, as you mentioned, during this pandemic?
You know, I think it's actually good for me. You know, I actually do the best in the gym, sparring and, training that way. This, to me, is going to be like a sparring session. That's the way I'm visualizing it. That's why I'm thinking about it. So I put myself in a position where I don't have to do as much media. I don't have to do as much, you know, things that we normally do during fight week, the whole media scrum where we're sitting there, you know, for a couple of hours and doing face-offs and all these different things and walking up and down casinos just to check your weight. Like, I can chill in my room. I got my own personal workout room right across the hall. So I'm in one room and I walk out my door, open up the next door, and it's a room that only I can work out in. So it makes me feel safe about that. And then I just kind of didn't know what to expect. So I tried to bring my weight down a little bit more before I even got here. You just try to get acclimated. So I think I'll be fine.
UFC fighter Tyron Woodley with us. Again, he's fighting in the card Saturday night. One thing that's interesting, Tyron, is you guys are going to be fighting in a 25-foot octagon against the 30-foot cage you guys are used to fighting in. Does that change, especially if you're going up against a guy who likes to grapple?
Yeah, it changes quite a bit. I mean, it doesn't even have to be 25. It can be 27 or 29. Like, that's just two steps. So if you're used to just taking a couple steps back, circling, which I do a lot, for me, it's something that we got to be really cautious of, because sometimes I'll lure guys in and bait them to come forward, and then I'll come off with punches. But if I do a normal, you know, my normal routine, then there's going to be a situation where I may be against Octagon quicker. And for my opponent, he likes to grapple. He likes to do jiu-jitsu. He wants to be in the clinch. And he's not going to want to fight with me out in the open. He's going to find it out real quick. So he's going to be looking for opportunities to grab me, try to take me down. So it just actually makes a fight a little bit more action-packed, because you got less room to create space.
You know, as we talked about, you talked about, you know, you were set to come back and that injury, and then the COVID-19 hit. And so at the end of this all, you're coming off a loss to Usman a while ago. So what does this mean for you to kind of get back in that winning way and get a little redemption here?
Man, it's not really to get redemption. It's really just to show performance, because sometimes when you take a loss or you have a moment, you know, I just wasn't even really there that night. If you knew me from the past and you know my characteristics, the way I fight, you watch that fight, you wouldn't even think that it was me. So for me, it's just going out there to remind the fans of that I'm the most dangerous, the fastest, the hardest punching welterweight, and I'm really the best. So that's all I'm really thinking about. And having to be in training camp since pretty much November is giving me the opportunity to really grow as a fighter. My conditioning is insane. It's my mentality and everything that came at me. Like the car dropped on March 21st, and then I was a switch opponent, and it was another opponent, and it was another day. And it was just kind of really a roller coaster ride. And I just forced myself to think of everything positive. Well, now I got more time. Well, my hamstring was tight. Now I get a chance to work that out. Oh, my hand was sore. You know, now I get to go at 100%. And to be honest, I haven't really walked into – I fought 5 world title fights in a very, very short period of time. And not one fight did I go into there 100% healthy. You know, I mean, I was nursing a hand injury when I fought Usman. I was nursing a shoulder injury that I got against Damian Maya, against Till. And I was fighting with these injuries within the fight. You know, even when I won the belt against Robbie Lawler, I had my foot was injured, my groin was injured. So I just take a deep breath, and I just know adrenaline is going to take over.
I'm curious, and you mentioned adrenaline will take over in this situation. Have you talked to any of the other fighters or heard the feedback on what it was like competing without the crowd?
Yeah, they just said make sure you get a real good warm-up, because it feels like a practice room. You know, it's real quiet and, you know, not a lot of people in there besides, you know, the commission and Dana and just one ring girl. But so what they told me is that just get a real good warm-up, you know, and just treat it like practice. So for me, I do a walkthrough every single fight. So I walk in the arena, they open it up for me. I go in there in the morning, and I imagine the most hostile tomatoes being thrown, yelling, cursing, screaming, booing, winning, losing, being behind on the cars, being up on the cars, so the guy chasing drugs, trying to knock your head off. So I envision every situation, every circumstance, and I create a state of peace there. And then when I walk out there, and it is yelling, screaming, booing, it's almost the reverse. It's almost like I don't hear anybody. And that's just because I just do that visualization. So I think that I'm just used to that anyway. I'm used to blocking out all the noise. And when I go in there, you know, all it'll be is just me and him, and I'm comfortable with that.
It sounds like you're very comfortable
with
that.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens coming up Saturday night. Tyron, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for being with us. Best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
it very
Tyron.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Good
luck, man.
Bag it
and bag it, Trey.
And that UFC preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Coming up, Mike Tannenbaum says the Steelers are the best option for Cam Newton. There's only one way to find out if it's going to happen. We'll book stuff next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic & Wingo reminding you, if you missed our interview with Mike Tannenbaum, go check out the entire interview on demand in the Golic & Wingo podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet?
Golic & Wingo here with you. It's a Thursday. I hear the music. I hear the read. I heard the rejoin. Junior, bring the heat. Let's book stuff.
You know what it is?
Oh, boy.
It is time to book stuff.
What it is?
I give you some takes. You guys decide if you want to spice it up, toss a little booking on top of it, and really heat this bad boy to the max.
Love it.
Then you do it. We move on. We play the sounder. If you don't, we won't. And I ask you another question. Dad,
all right.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cam Newton will sign with the Steelers. You going
to
book it?
This Cam Newton thing is just amazing to me. And I know a lot of it obviously is not being able to be given a physical by teams. I don't think his video did him any good at all. It showed him dropping back and throwing some long passes. I don't think that was going to make anybody go, oh, okay, let's sign him right now. But I don't think it's with the Steelers.
No, sir.
I don't
sir.
Think it's with
no.
Pittsburgh, so I'm not going to book this one.
Listen, we just had Mike Tannenbaum on with us, and he thought that was the perfect fit, and I agree. I think it is. I want it to happen, so I'm going to will it into existence. I'm going to speak it into existence. I am booking it as strongly as I can book something, because I want this for Cam and I want this for the Steelers.
That would vault them to maybe they'd be right in the conversation for the strongest quarterback room.
Correct.
In the National Football League. It's just a matter of, it's going to be very interesting now, if Cam is content to go somewhere where he would be clearly a backup, or is he still holding out for maybe a training camp injury and a shot at a starting job? Golic & Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. Trey.
Yeah.
Giannis will win his second straight MVP.
You can look at it.
When are they going to vote on that, by the way?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that much on those awards. I have to imagine it would depend on what they decide to do at the end of the regular season or not, since we know it's a regular season award.
Well, let's put it this way. He is I still think he, when the season shut down, even though LeBron was charging and had that great weekend where he beat Giannis and the Clippers in back-to-back games, I still think Giannis was the overall favorite, and I don't think they're going to play enough games, however they resume the season, for that to change. So, yeah, I think Giannis is
this is the one so hard because I don't know when they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to let him play a little more. I don't know if they're just going to say vote now.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's enough runway to change it.
I'm not going to book it. I think LeBron wins it.
Damn that.
I think that conversation should have always been a lot closer than
totally
it was,
agree.
Quite frankly.
Totally agree.
But I'm with Trey. I remember so distinctly saying, this feels like the jumping off point to where it makes the turn it should have. I think the way we look back on this, it's going to go to Giannis. He's going to win his second straight. And that only heats up things and expectations for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm going to book that one.
You can
with
book
you
it!
Guys. Dad, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to actually play in the 2020 NBA playoffs.
Again, if they do a 1-16 seeding, not by East and West, right the way it would look, the Nets would play the Lakers in the first round. I am not booking this. Just for the word and, meaning both of them are going to play. I don't even think one of them is going to play, so I am not booking this.
I feel like this would have been a better either, neither, both. Because you take either, it might be really interesting, right? So because of that word,
I'll give you the option to book one.
Okay. Ooh. I would probably book, if I had to book one, I would book Durant. Because he was going to play in the Olympics.
That's the way I'm leaning.
Yeah.
For that same
reason. I'll book it.
Timeline-wise, it probably would have matched up. I would book this one, too. I think it would be very interesting. We saw he's a guy that will work to get back on the court if there's an opportunity to win something, the way he did with Golden State that ultimately got us to this point.
And remember, he said he would plan on playing in the Olympics, and plus he said no practice leading up to that like he would have if he would have going to play in the Olympics.
Also valid point, but I think the timeline is on their side. Trey,
yeah.
Between Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones will have the best season.
No, not booking.
Book it.
Not Ooh, booking.
Wow, all right.
No.
Even after that glowing review that Dan Orlovsky gave us.
I love Dan Orlovsky, and I like Daniel Jones. I wasn't as upset about everyone else as when they picked him. I'm just looking at what's around him. And I think that we have better options for Josh Allen and better options for Kyler Murray.
So are we talking statistically or team-wise?
I would say statistically.
Yeah.
I'm not booking that. I think Kyler Murray is going to have a hell of a year.
Larry Fitz meets DeAndre. DeAndre meet Larry.
Yeah, Larry and DeAndre and
Christian
and Kirk
thrown in there.
Yeah, I just think he's set up statistically, if that's where we're going, to have himself a hell of a year.
Yeah, I think Daniel Jones is going to be in the mix in that top group.
Yeah.
I think that we saw last year gelling with weapons that are coming back in a way that Sam Darnold's going to have to work through, even if you think Sam Darnold might be the more talented quarterback. I am not going to book this, though. I'm very in on the Kyler Murray train, and I know we have been around here for a while. Dad, the Ravens are the best challenger to the Chiefs repeating as the Super Bowl champs.
Wow. No, I'm not going to book that. I'm looking at a team like the Saints that if they can finally
just get there,
have nothing happen to them in the playoffs and actually get to the Super Bowl. I would like that because of the shootout ability that the Saints could have on offense. So I will not book that. I haven't booked one yet.
Really? What are you doing? Yeah. How dare you?
I know.
This is interesting, right? Because if you're going from a sort of philosophical standpoint of how you build your team, the Ravens want to play keep away, right? They want to hold the ball as long as they can and run, thus limiting the chances for Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to book it. I think they might be, and I think it just proves how good Mahomes and the Chiefs are because they played twice and they beat him twice. So they might be the best, but I don't think it's going to matter.
Well, and you mentioned the offense, too, is a part of that. Like, I think quietly, and I was talking to Mina Kimes about this the other day, that Calais Campbell signing is probably not getting the credit it deserves.
Along with Derek Wolfe's rotation?
Right. Because it happened so early in the offseason?
Totally.
I am going to book this. I think the Ravens, you continue to see growth from Lamar Jackson. They had a phenomenal offseason top to bottom. I think that's a team. It's just a smart, well-run organization that continued to add to a talented team already.
They understand the team construct maybe better than anybody else in football. They have a plan, and they build around it.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo. Dad, the Buffalo Bills will win the AFC East.
Oh, boy. I mean, we've been so ingrained to not bet against New England, but I like everything Buffalo is doing. I'm going to, for the first time this morning, I'm going to book it.
Oh, you can book it.
Proud of you, man.
Wow, that was a deep book it.
I was about to say, that was spiritual.
Wow.
I have to book it because I picked them to win the division last year.
You did.
Last week. So I'm
book it.
Let's make it a clean sweep. That defense, that off up in the trenches, the Bills are built for success. Adding Stephon Diggs can be very interesting because the last we've seen of Stephon Diggs, pretty disgruntled. It wasn't quite the same duo that we saw. Clearly, Adam Thielen had become more of a favorite target for Kirk Cousins, and there seemed to be a lot of bad feelings because of that.
Here's hoping he's just gruntled this year.
Just gruntled. Here we go. Last one. Real quick one. Both LA teams will be in the NBA Finals. You going
to
book it?
Again, this would have to be a 1-16 seed.
So I'm not booking it for that reason.
No chance.
No chance. No chance. Chance.
No, sir. No.
Why would the East sign off on that?
No. And listen, kudos to Zach Lowe, who put together a really in-depth look
it's
at
phenomenal.
What should happen with the NBA playoffs. And if you got time, go on .com and read through it, because he gives some great reasons for the why these things should happen. And we always say, you can't just take something down or posit something new without giving a plan. He goes into the plan. I just don't know if it's anything the owners are realistically going to sign off on.
Because, as always, you can say it's about something else, but it's about the money. Coming up next, is there so much money bet on the Chiefs that they might be the next best dynasty in football? And what does make a dynasty? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.